AT&T has reportedly struck a deal to buy Time Warner for an estimated $85.4 billion. Per AT&T, the stock and cash agreement, valued at $107.50 per share, was unanimously approved by both companies' boards.
I announce my separation from the United States.
A 70-year bond. The new Philippines president, Rodrigo Duterte, seems ready to break in exchange for billions in trade, tourism, and low-interest loans from China.
Theresa May attending her first EU summit as UK Prime Minister on Thursday. In early October, she seemed to indicate that Britain was headed for a so-called hard Brexit, putting limits on immigration and leaving Europe's single market. French President François Hollande says Brexit talks will be hard. German Chancellor Angela Merkel warning of a difficult path ahead.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. It is 5:10, and it is Monday, October 24th, 2016, 5:10. Good morning. Welcome to another edition of The Opening Bell. Welcome to another business day. How does it feel to be a champion? Woo! I have to admit, I did cry like a little baby over the weekend. Congratulations, Chicago Cubs. It is beyond exciting. We will, of course, have this as our big story all morning long. Dave Ennett is here. We will be talking about this on the Steve Cochran Show. It will be all we can talk about. After all, the Cubs are in our DNA. I had to pull out my old Cubs. I don't know if you are old enough to have one of these, a diehard Cub fan club card. They issued these things when I was just a little kid. They look like little credit cards. Mine's a little cracked. 1971. Is when I became a diehard Cub fan. So very nice feeling today. Congratulations, Chicago Cubs. I'm sure we will do well. That's where we'll begin this morning. You wondering what the betting odds are? Well, guess what? The betting odds are that Chicago is going to win the World Series. They will beat the Indians. And those are pretty good odds. But if you can get a ticket, that's another question. This is big money, by the way. The latest that we've seen, up to $5,000 for some games, up to $15,000 for others. We're going to continue following this. I'm sure this has changed since I did a little research into it last night. But again, those tickets are going to be going very, very expensively. And if you're lucky enough to have a ticket already, congratulations on that first World Series in 71 years. So congratulations, Chicago Cubs. Let's go to the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning. Lots happening around the world. First, here in this country, the Dow futures pointing toward a modest open on Wall Street, 82 points higher. The S&P, NASDAQ futures higher as well. Crude oil is trading lower. Around the globe this morning, Asian markets are all up. And same story in Europe this morning, where all of the markets are up this morning. So what's going on? Investors seemed a little bit buoyed by some economic talk and reports coming in from other countries. But it is Monday, so we have plenty of time to go. It's also earnings season. A lot of the earnings reports that have come in so far have been very positive. But there's this big thing happening. You may have heard about it. AT&T wants to buy Time Warner, $85 billion. Again, if you're old enough to remember Ma Bell, the government broke up Bell back in the day. And there are already many on Capitol Hill saying this may be dead on arrival. When it gets to that point, I know people are got their fingers crossed, at least the people who are involved in these deals. But there's a lot of questions being raised this morning about whether or not this is too big for AT&T to acquire Time Warner. It would give them control of access and delivery of those systems. Here in Illinois, the effort is a full court effort to bring jobs to the state. And there's a new organization, a part of government that sort of connected to government, called Intersect Illinois. And the idea is all across the state to bring new jobs, and especially those kinds of jobs that are going to push us into the future. And we're happy to have with us this morning the CEO of this group, Jim Schultz. Intersect Illinois is the name of it. Just newly formed, just getting off the ground. Jim, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell. Let's start first with the mission of this group, Intersect Illinois. What's your mission?
Steve, good morning. It's good to be with you this morning. The governor, Governor Rauner, and I started Intersect Illinois earlier this year. with a perspective that we could do a better job of marketing and branding the state in the country and globally. And so we looked over the last year and a half at other states, what they were doing well, and in some cases what they didn't do such a good job at, and tried to create a private economic development corporation to change the trajectory of economic development in our state and create more job opportunities. And I'd love to talk about some of those wins we've already had, but that's generally what we did and why we created this.
How is this different from, and this is just going to show my history in Illinois, but from like Build Illinois and from all those other programs that through history we've had in Illinois, how is it different from those?
So the programs of the past have all been good programs that have focused on how we could do it from a state perspective. What we looked at is how do we bring this state into the 21st century from a marketing and branding perspective. And what I like to say is we want to be the red carpet state, not the red tape state, meaning that we're here as the concierge to businesses, both in-state and companies that are considering moving into the state. And so what we're doing differently than perhaps historical programs is trying to do more of an outward-bound approach to how we present the state, how we market the state, and how we show the state. Having run the Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity for 15 months for the governor while I served in his cabinet, one of the things that became very apparent to me was the inflexibility and the just the bureaucratic kind of processes we had to go through to do things, to react to opportunities. And so what we want to do is and what we're doing is we're a business organization moving at the speed of business.
Jim Schultz, the CEO of Intersect Illinois, we'll ask you to hold on here. We'll continue our pre-dawn business conversation this morning, how to bring jobs to Illinois, new industry, things that will last into the next generation for Illinois. We'll continue our chat with Jim coming up.
ABC News, Wall Street Now. U.S. stocks wavered between gains and losses before closing mostly lower on Friday. The Dow fell 16.5 points to 18,145. The Standard & Poor's 500 slipped a fraction. The NASDAQ Composite gained 15.5 points. That blockbuster merger between AT&T and Time Warner is already facing some major opposition. Some public interest groups worry that the nearly $86 billion deal would lead to higher costs and fewer choices. GOP presidential candidate Donald Trump has weighed in, saying it would limit competition. Samsung Electronics is looking at more problems with its fire-prone smartphone. An attorney representing hundreds of South Korean Galaxy Note 7 owners announced plans to sue the electronics giant. Samsung has stopped making and selling the Galaxy Note 7 because of overheating batteries. And for the second straight year, sporting goods retailer REI will keep its doors closed on the day after Thanksgiving, one of the busiest shopping days of the year. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program at 520 on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. Some stocks of local interest we're watching for you. Baxter International is down just a fraction this morning at 48.18 a share. Some other movers included Peabody Energy up about 4% this morning. Deere & Company is up as well. Groupon is flat. And the Kraft Heinz Company is off just a fraction this morning as well. Back to our morning conversation this morning. In our studio this morning is the CEO of Intersect Illinois. It is a new agency in Illinois that is a private-to-public partnership trying to bring jobs and build Illinois for the future in terms of jobs and industry. Jim Schultz is the CEO. He's with us. Jim, before the break, we were talking about your mission. And, I'm wondering how tough this is because, you know, Illinois, all we hear about sometimes are some of the bad things. Do you have challenges?
So in the last 2 weeks, I've had a trip to the East Coast. I was in New York City marketing to site selectors. And I was last week on the West Coast marketing to several companies, high technology companies, considering, you know, potentially establishing a beachhead here in the Midwest. What we're consistently hearing is, wow, this is the first time we've seen anybody from the state of Illinois in maybe 10, sometimes 15 years. So it's pretty shocking to me that the state has not done a more aggressive outbound marketing approach. In many of these cases, they're saying, thank you. We're excited to learn more. We'll see what we can do to find, in the case of site selectors, companies that want to consider Illinois. With the great assets we have, from logistics systems to our workforce to low energy costs, it's a fairly easy thing to market. We've got some great things that we can be proud of and that we can market this state.
Perhaps it's just because I do the headlines every day and do the news every day. Maybe I'm a little jaded by it. But all we seem to hear about Illinois is red tape, taxes, jobs leaving, negative, negative, negative. Is that what you get back from people? Are they hearing that? Is that kind of spread across the country?
In some cases, yes. The media has presented a picture that doesn't necessarily bode well for the state of Illinois with some of the challenges in Springfield, with some of our financial issues we have to deal with. It makes it a bit challenging. But as you sort through that, and I think the best way to look at this is not on a year-to-year or quarter-to-quarter basis, but you have to look at it on a decade-to-decade basis. And one of the things I think that we have is one of the natural assets is our water. 80% of the potable water in North America is in the greater Midwest, and that's a great asset we can market. And food and agriculture is a great opportunity. Having had businesses I've owned in the past, I owned farmland down in Brazil in the 80s. I look at the food and ag as being a great opportunity for this country, and particularly the Midwest, to be a leveraging opportunity as we grow the food needs for the population to feed the world.
Is this more about tourism than it is business, or is it equal parts business and tourism?
I'd say it's more of strictly business. Tourism is run by the state of Illinois. Mm-hmm. We're focused more on how can we create sustainable jobs, sustainable opportunities for the citizens of this state. And what we're focused on is six clusters, six opportunities. Those are energy, food and ag, logistics and transportation systems, financial services, insurance, real estate is an acronym called FIRE, along with biotech, biopharma, and finally advanced manufacturing. Those are areas I think we have competitive advantages and ways that we can market our state to other states and to other countries.
So let's play a little role playing here. I'm a company that has a lot of employees. I make whatever widget, and you come to me. What's your sales pitch? What do you say?
So we had this opportunity. There's a company that announced they're moving here from Germany called Vetter, V-E-T-T-E-R. They announced this about 3 months ago. What I marketed was largely three things, and there are many more, but I'll give you the three highlights. One, we're the third lowest energy cost state in the country. So you can come here, set a manufacturing facility up, your widgets, you can produce it more efficiently here with energy cost savings. Two, we have a great workforce. 38% of our workforce has an associate's degree or better. Having done business in 10 other states and two other countries, I can tell you that from my experience, at least in those limited number of states, I think our workforce is the best. And I've said this before, if we're in the Olympics, our workforce wins both the gold, all medals, gold, silver, and bronze. And finally, our logistics systems. Marketing to companies in Europe, one of the things that's very striking to me, Steve, is that they don't realize how big the United States is. They think it's similar to Europe. You can get anywhere in about 2 hours. When I marketed to a company recently, I said, you want to be in the middle part of the country, whether that's Dallas or Denver or Chicago, and I hope it's Chicago, you can get to your clients in the same day and back. And I said, I've done that. I've flown to Boston and back in my professional career, and I've flown to San Francisco and back the same day. It makes for a very long day. And for a tough day the next day, but you can do it. You can get to your customers. And that's a pretty compelling argument that we can make as far as a state. And finally, relative to that, you can move product to either coast within 36 hours from the state of Illinois. And so that's a distinct and competitive advantage we have.
Does it help that you also have, I believe, 15 Fortune 500 companies in Illinois, most of them in Chicago, the Boeings, the McDonald's? Those companies are here for a reason. What do they tell you? Why does the Boeing say why they're here in Chicago?
I can't specifically speak to Boeing, but I can talk in generalities. Sure. About other companies. I know that many of them see our workforce as being something that is very distinguished. One of the things that's very interesting is that if you go to the Big Ten, the traditional Big Ten universities, mm-hmm. I'm going to exclude some of the newer ones that have come into the Big Ten, right. But the traditional Big Ten universities, the largest number of graduates, the city that most of those graduates go to in largest number is Chicago. So we're getting the best and brightest moving to Chicago for their first career opportunities. In many cases, they're staying. Companies see that as a competitive advantage to get that new generation of leading-edge technology minds as part of their corporation operation. So I think you've seen that on a pretty repeated business basis, that World Business Chicago's done a good job of marketing to suburban companies to come into Chicago because of the workforce that exists here in Chicago.
And there's a lot of innovation, too, especially here in Chicago, that we deal with here, report on a regular basis on the Opening Bell with 1871 in Chicago. Mm-hmm. There's some amazing startup companies that are forming. The question I have is, as we move further away from, let's say, manufacturing, manufacturing and all the jobs that we may be familiar with. What are your challenges in terms of making sure that Illinois' workforce knows technical stuff, knows how to code, knows all of those skills for the future?
I think we leverage the education systems we have, including our K through 12, our community college systems. We have three world-class universities, along with others that are, I think, distinguished as well. But we have, I think, a very competitive advantage with the fact we have some great academic and educational institutions we can build upon. And then flipping to the innovation issue, I think with things like 1871 and Matter and many others, Tech Nexus, those are ways that we can take our best and brightest and find a way for them to stay in state. If you look at statistics, we're losing a lot of our engineers from the University of Illinois, for example. They're going to the West Coast for their first jobs. We're changing that and providing better opportunities here in Chicago than maybe what existed 10 years ago. And I think we're going to build upon that as a competitive advantage.
Jim Schultz, the CEO, Intersect Illinois. Thanks for being with us on the opening bell this morning. You can find more information about Intersect Illinois, intersectillinois.org.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is the opening bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. At 5:40, new technology from Ford could help save pedestrians in crashes.
Did you hear what I said?
Did you hear me?
It is called pedestrians. Well, they're called pedestrians, and the new technology that's being debuted by Ford is actually a technology called pre-collision assist that can predict the movement of pedestrians to help reduce the severity and, in some cases, eliminate frontal collisions altogether. Joining us from Ford this morning is Scott Lindstrom. He's on the technology team there. Scott, good morning. Welcome to the opening bell.
Good morning, Steve.
Well, we have seen autonomous vehicles. We've seen this backup technology, so you can see people in back of you. This actually sees pedestrians?
Absolutely. What it does is it uses a radar and a camera and is looking in front of the vehicle at all times, trying to find potential collision risks with pedestrians and vehicles. So it's always scanning the road ahead and trying to help the driver avoid accidents.
So how successful has it been in testing? How successful is it?
Well, we did a lot of testing. We did over 500,000 miles of testing. We went to China, we went to Europe, and we went to all over the U.S., including Chicago, and we put 500,000 miles in to make sure the system's working correctly. And we took a lot of data, over 240 terabytes of data from the camera and the radar system to make sure it's working correctly.
So give us a sense of how this works. Is it anything that the driver has to pay attention to? And how quickly does it see a pedestrian move in front of a vehicle? It just seems amazing to me.
Well, the camera and the radar are always scanning the road ahead. The system's always running in the background, so the customer doesn't have to do anything. And then if the system detects a potential collision risk, it'll set off an alarm. You get a big red light and a noise from the car that tries to tell the driver to do something. And if the driver still doesn't engage and do something to avoid the accident, the system will come on and press the brakes automatically. And it will either reduce the severity of the accident or, in some cases, avoid the accident altogether.
Give us a sense, and our listeners a sense, of how significant the problem of pedestrian hits or accidents are around the globe here in the United States. How many people are hurt and die in these kinds of crashes?
Well, according to NHTSA, one person gets injured every 8 minutes in an accident with a vehicle.
And it's quite a few people. Is it worse in busy cities or rural areas, or where is it? Where do you see this technology helping the most?
Well, we're finding that pedestrians are everywhere, and they seem to be increasingly distracted. We see people all over town walking, looking at their phones, texting as they're crossing the street, and it's quite easy to walk in front of a vehicle if you're distracted by your phone. So we think it can be helpful all over the world from what we've seen.
What kinds of speeds have you tested this at? If a car, let's say, is traveling 50 miles an hour, is it still successful, this technology?
Well, the technology works up to 50 miles an hour, and at higher speeds, the alarm goes off, the brakes come on. But at certain speeds, it only helps lower the speed of the collision quite a bit. It won't avoid accidents in all scenarios. So it's important that drivers, stays in control of the vehicle and tries to control the vehicle himself. But even if you can scrub off a lot of speed, that can be a big help to lessen the severity of an accident.
And does it work at night as well?
It works at night on vehicles because vehicles are nice enough to have taillights. But on people, it doesn't work at nighttime yet. It's something we're working on for the future.
So give us a sense. I mean, we see a lot of this technology advancing almost at light speed, probably not as fast as you'd like to see it done. But are we heading toward a time where humans will just not be in control of any of these operations? Because we're kind of bad when it comes to this stuff.
Well, the technology is moving quickly. I mean, 5-10 years ago, I would have laughed at you if you told me I was going to be introducing a system like this. And it's moving quite rapidly, and we're working hard on this kind of stuff. These systems are driver assist technologies. They're really designed to work with the driver. So we're designing them so that the customer's always in control, can always take over and overrule the system and keep in control in the vehicle. But absolutely, Ford's working on fully autonomous vehicles. And in the near future, we hope to bring some of those to market where you can ride around and have the car drive you around like a chauffeur would.
Well, here's the big money question. What vehicles will this be on? When will we start seeing it? And how much is it going to cost?
Well, pre-collision assist is available today. You can go visit your dealer. It's on the Ford Fusion, starting with the 2017 Ford Fusion.
And so you said it's standard on that Ford Fusion?
It's optional.
Optional, okay.
Optional.
So what kinds of bugs do you have to tweak out of this?
Well, the big thing is you want it to brake when there's a pedestrian or a vehicle in front of you, but you don't want it to brake accidentally on the wrong thing. You don't want it to get confused with a fire hydrant or a manhole cover or a Coke can in the road. So we spend a lot of time making sure it brakes when it should and doesn't when it shouldn't. So a lot of it is interpreting radar data and camera data and really teaching the system and optimizing the algorithm so it recognizes the real world correctly. There's a lot of things out there that can confuse a system like this.
I'm going to ask a question that you can answer if you're not, but I don't want to pit you against a competitor or another company. But there's been a lot of discussion in this world of technology and vehicles about doing real-world testing. And I have to tell you that I didn't realize you guys were even doing this. So you were kind of testing this apparently under the cover as opposed to other companies that are actually out there. Well, one company, I won't name the Tesla, okay, that is doing sort of this real world testing. Is that a good thing to do? And how important is it for you to get bugs worked out of these things before you actually put them on the road?
Well, it's absolutely important to test them and make sure they don't get confused in the real world. So these sensors are pretty complicated, and you have to test them. So we went out and tested before we sell the vehicle, and we did quite a lot of development. You need a number of miles, but it's also just the quality and variety of those miles, and that's why we go to places like China and Europe. We do rural, urban, and all sorts of different driving environments and make sure that the system is working well.
Scott Lindstrom, he's with the technology area of Ford. They're debuting. It's now available in some vehicles, this new pedestrian warning device, pre-collision assist on some of Ford's cars. Scott, good of you to be with us in the opening bell. Thanks for working on this stuff for the future to keep us safe.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. Dow futures pointing toward modest gains this morning when the opening bell rings, up 77 points now. The S&P NASDAQ futures higher as well. Oil trading a little bit lower. Some developing news this morning. Brokerage TD Ameritrade is buying privately held rival Scottrade for $4 billion. Hit just into the WGN newsroom this morning. We'll get more information on that as we get it. But first, let's get the latest on commodities and agriculture. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. Well, we start the week with one more report on the FFA, and then tomorrow we'll get back to markets and what's happening with harvest progress and that sort of thing. But the FFA convention ended late Saturday afternoon with the election of the 2016-17 National FFA Officer Team. And the new president, David Townsend from the University of Delaware, where he is an agriculture and natural resources plant science major. This is the first time in the history of the FFA that Delaware has had a national president. Victoria Harris, a biology major at the University of Florida, will serve as secretary. Deshaun Blanding, who is going to school at North Carolina A&T State University, elected Southern Region vice president. Trey Elizondo, science and agricultural communications major at Texas A&M, the Western Region vice president. Ashley Willits, an ag education major at Tarleton State University, elected Eastern Region vice president. And Valerie Early, an agricultural communications major at the University of Minnesota, will serve as Central Region vice president. But they will take a one-year break from studies at these universities to travel the nation and a part of the world representing the National FFA organization. Great group of people. And had a great time rubbing shoulders with all these outstanding people in Indianapolis at the 89th National FFA Convention. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You have a great day as well. Now, the Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Monday, October 24th, 2016. Restaurant Brands International reports quarterly financial results before the market opens today. Visa will report after the market closes. Two of the big earnings reports we expect today. Tomorrow, Standard & Poor's releases its S&P Case-Shiller Index of Home Prices for August. The Conference Board will release the Consumer Confidence Index for October. Also tomorrow, Merck & Company, Caterpillar, General Motors, all reporting financial results before the market opens. Chipotle Mexican Grill will report earnings after the market closes tomorrow. Lots of stuff that could drive the markets as we move through the beginning of this work week. One final note, a couple of developing stories. We mentioned the TD Ameritrade story. Worth repeating that one again. This morning, MarketWatch is reporting that TD Ameritrade will be buying privately held rival Scottrade for $4 billion, is what MarketWatch is reporting today. Also, there has been a plane crash in Malta, and we're seeing now that at least five people have been killed in this crash. It looks like a small plane crash on the island of Malta that we'll be following for you this morning.